What we need to do, and what's wrong in America today, is there's too many bulls in the china shop. There's too many that thinks I can do it better myself. And America is a mess today because they've taken God out of the home, and homes show it. The designer of the home. First of all, I want to look at his ideas. In verse number 18 there, he saw that Adam was by himself. He was lonely. He didn't have anybody. And God's idea there, his idea is for the home, I believe, for there to be a togetherness. For there to be unity in the home. You know, that home is a special place. That home is somewhere where mom and daddy are to be, and they are to be somewhere together. Amen. When we sit down to eat, I want to encourage you. When we sit down to eat, I don't care how old you are. You may have been sitting at the couch eating your dinner, for the last 25 years. But I want to encourage you, for your grandchildren's sake, if you're grandparent, you ought to get around that table. And you ought to emphasize to your children, to your grandchildren, the importance of the unity of the home. And, spend time together in the home and be together as a unit in the home. So we see his ideas, but in verse 18. But also, I wonder what his intentions are. I don't believe God intended for a lot of fussing and a lot of fighting in the home. You may like me now, but you may not like me after this message, because I'm just going to tell you like it is. You know, we are in a mess in America. I'm going to tell you, the problem is not the crazy kids in the school down here. The problem is not the ones in the detention center. Everybody wants to throw rocks at them that got caught, them that's done wrong and messed up. But the problem is how they were grounded. We all come into this world with a snotty nose, a crying, and couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't do nothing on our own. And the parents' jobs is to lead that child and to grow that child and show him which way to go. Therefore, we need to show our young'uns how to live. Am I right about it? All right. His intentions, I don't believe it was ever for no fussing and fighting. Now, there's going to be spits and spats, I understand that, and you may be oblivious to this, but there's some crazy things that takes place in homes. There's a lot of things that kids have to see nowadays that they shouldn't have to see. Amen? No wonder we got kids that's nuts and crazy and out of their minds when they come home and see mama drunk as a dog or high on something and she's fussing daddy out and cussing him out or vice versa. No wonder they're crazy. Listen, they come into the world as an innocent child and they need an innocent home to grow up in. Hey, man. Y'all doing all right. Ideas God had for the home. As the architect, he had those ideas and he had some intentions. What's the intentions for this church here? Why did we build this church? Why did we build this? To go to church in. Why did we build? Daddy built our house back in 84, I believe it was. Why in the world did he build that house? Did he build it for folks to ride up and down Lovern Mill Road and look at it and say, that's where Mr. Rollins lives? Or did we build this just to sit out here and say, oh, how pretty? No, we built it to go to church in. And we build houses to have a home in. A home, right? We see his ideas, his intentions. But a home's always got some instructions. Amen? And this is where Adam and Eve messed up, is they didn't follow the instructions. Listen to me, I'm going to tell you something. Right here, you hearing me well tonight? If you want to have a good home, it's right here. These instructions. If you don't know how to use something, if you don't know how something works, what I have learned to do after 50 years, I have learned that it's a whole lot quicker to hunt that little pamphlet. Amen? And figure out how the stupid thing works instead of putting it together. Amen. I finally learned that, I think. A lot of times, I have went to them first even. I'm proud of myself. But you know what? The home all the instruction you'll ever need is right here in these 66 books, these 1,187 chapters. Right here is the instruction, man. You don't need what Joe Blow over here says. Yeah, man. Listen, we got clowns that's out there for hire that'll be glad to take your $100 bills and tell you some hogwash, put you 7 points together and tell you how to do it. But I'm telling you, the instructions is right here. And you get up under preaching, you stay in the church house, and God will direct you, and you need to direct your family. Designer of the home, but also let's look at the design of the home. Or the plans of the home. Verse number 8 in our text. Back in chapter number 2, verse number 8, the Bible says this. Look at the design of this home. Verse number 8, chapter 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Why you're where you're at? Because God's put you there. Listen, I don't believe not one second slips under God's sovereignty. I believe He is a holy God. I believe He is G-O-D. You know what God is? Look it up in your dictionary. God means He is sovereign, supreme, and He is in charge. And every person in this room, God has ordained and set you in places so you can be a blessing and be blessed. Look on. He said in verse number 9, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And it goes on and tells about the rivers, the four rivers. In verse number 14, "And the name of the third river, Hiddekel, this is which goes towards Assyria, and the fourth is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." To dress it and to keep it. First of all, in this design of the home, I believe if you'll follow these instructions, I believe it should be a place of plenty. It should be a place of plenty. If you'll follow His directions, if you'll get in line with what I'm preaching to you tonight, there'll always be plenty. You may not have 5 basketfuls. You may not have a bank account with hundreds of thousands in it. But listen to me. I've been there. God's always supplied. He's always given what's need. Always has. And I've been down this road a long time. God has always supplied my needs. And He's taken care of a lot of my foolishness. I know I'm the only one foolish in here. He's taken care of me. He has blessed me. I'm telling you, because God honors faithfulness and God honors you following His instructions. Have I followed them to a T? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't guess anybody in here is following them. Ain't nobody that the Lord probably set up and say, that's a model family. If you think that all these families in this church right here has got it all together, don't. Oh Lord, I might as well close the book if you think that. I know everybody looks good. I know everybody seems to have it together, but honey, you ain't been home with them. Yeah, man. So don't let the devil tell you when you and your wife get in a spat or something don't go wrong down at your address. Don't let the devil tell you that you're the only one. Everybody else has got it together down there, and you might as well just quit. That's a lie hatched out of the devil's belly. Yeah, man. It ought to be a place of plenty. But I believe it ought to be, the design of this, it should be a place of peace. Now, I wonder if you'll agree with me or not. We live in a chaotic world. I'm telling you, it blows my ever-loving mind. I see folks it's something else. And y'all see them too. You go to work with them. You go to school with them. You go wherever you might go. It may be some in church even. But we live in a crazy world. And you know what? When my wife gets off of her job, I get off my job, I'm looking for my address. Why is that? Because it's peaceful. It's stable. It's somewhere I can get out of all that craziness out there. I'm telling you, I got a special breed of nuts around me. And they probably say that about me too. But you know what? It's a blessing to get to come somewhere to a home that's peaceful and ain't a bunch of bickering. You listen to employees, you listen to workers, you listen to your peers and all them fussing and fighting all day and cussing and ranting and raving. I don't want to hear all that mess when I get home. I want something peaceful. Am I right? It ought to be a place of plenty. It ought to be a place of peace. But if you'll follow his instructions, it ought to be a place of protection. It ought to be a place of protection. Now listen to me. There's a lot of evil out there. There's a lot of things that's against the home. I believe all of this homosexuality movement is nothing but and it's been going on way longer. And it ain't nothing but one of the devil's attempts to destroy the nuclear family. We know that two girls can't produce a baby. We know two men. I don't care what CNN says. It ain't happening. It just ain't happening. And it ain't nothing but destruction of the home. All of you trial lawyers, all of them, you see billboards. Hey! Get a divorce for $400. I've seen them both. All that is an attack on the home. Honey, we're going to fight hell every day that we live. You might as well get used to that. I hate to tell the young couples, you're going to have disagreements. You're going to have fusses, some knockdown drag outs. Amen. But listen, you got to fight your way through it. There's going to be bad things happen. There's going to be things that hurt you, but you got to work through it and stay in the fight. Protection. If you'll follow him, follow these instructions, he'll protect you. He'll protect you. How do you know that, preacher? Because he's protected me and that little lady right away. The designer. But now let's look at the dwellers of this home. The ones that inhabit, the ones that live in this home. So first of all, we see there's a dad here. We see Adam, he become a dad when Eve is the mom, and then there's the children. That dad, he was created first by the hand of God straight out of the dust of the ground. He was molded from that dust, and God breathed into him his breath, and he became a living soul. And we know that dad being created first, I believe it signifies that he is the head of the household. He is the one that God created in his image, in his likeness, and he is the one that God formed. And I believe he formed him first, showing that he is to rule over the home. What I mean by rule, does that mean beat him up? Does that mean walk on the lady? Does that mean put her to the side? No, sir. We're going to get to her in a minute. But that man, I'm preaching to the fellows. I'm not helping you. I'm trying to tell you something. You need to step up. The reason so many ladies have to be the head of the home nowadays is because we got too many men wearing women's underwear. Yeah, man. And they won't step up and be the man that they need to be. You need to be a man. Don't go home and tell your wife, listen, you better sit down over and listen to me. You may get jap-slapped. But you better handle that right there with much prayer and fasting. But I'm just telling you a principle. Fellas, you need to be the leader, is what I'm trying to say, of your home. Ladies, you, as described in our Bible, Adam's created here. He's lonely. Well, why didn't God, he could have done it just as easy as he done what he did. Why didn't he just reach down in the sand, round in the dirt, and start forming Eve? Why didn't he? Well, that lets me know that he wrote this Bible specifically for a reason. He said, I put Adam to sleep. Now, I know this is symbolic of Calvary, but I can't go there. I don't want to go there. Okay. But he took Adam, put him to sleep, opened up his side, pulled a rib out of Adam, and then put skin and all that on that rib and made Eve. Why is that? Because he wanted Eve to be a part of Adam. You see, she's not 100% her own self. Follow me now. She's not 100%. Fellas, ladies, you that's married in here, when you get married, when you say those vows, I believe in heaven, I believe you're signing a contract in glory. And you're saying, I vow to God Himself. That's what vows mean. You're vowing to God Himself. God is a witness. A lot of times the preacher will say that. Here before God and all the people, do you repeat these vows, this, that, and other? You're vowing to God, I'm going to stay with her, and she's going to stay with me. We're going to fight this out. What does it say? In sickness and in health, poverty and wealth, till death do us part. Don't say if Alexander Shinara or who is that, Glenda Mitchell, or you see all these billboards. Tells me it's all right to trash him and go get me another. Amen. Dwellers of the home, the dad, that mom. And mama, you was created second. You was created second. Does that mean that you're subordinate to the man? You are to submit to the man, but you're not second best. You were taken from the side of man because that's where he intended for you to be. If, you know, back in the day, if one of my buddies, Brother Shane, was fixing to go confront some folks, I'm with you. That's what I tell them. I'm with you. Right? You ever told anybody that? I'm with you. You know what that means? I'm beside you. I'm going with you. I got your back. That's what that lady is. And you see, God intended for this whole thing not to be some chaotic, crazy mess in the United States where we're trying to get the American dream and live and accumulate all this garbage. And one time, sooner or later, we're going to die. And just like the Bible says, naked I came in, naked I'm going out. All this millions I got and all this malarkey I've got, my kids is going to fight over it. They're going to gripe over it. They're going to have to go to court over it. And we've wasted all of our life. Ain't that insane? When you could do like a lot of families have done. And they may not have had the very best. May not have had the finest of the fine. And you at 20 years old, you at 30 years old, even start at 40 years old, you can say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you can start a heritage. That one day when you're in the ground, your kids can walk by and say, I appreciate Daddy taking me to church. I appreciate Mama and the prayers she prayed. I have that with my parents. I'm blessed. I thank God every night for my Mama and Daddy. Not so much as what they've helped me with financially, but what they've placed in my heart spiritually. What they've given me the opportunity. When I was Brother David down at Sardis as an 8-year-old boy. Wasn't looking for God. Didn't really know I was lost. But on a Friday night, July 29th, 1981, I was sitting about right here. And the Holy Ghost come. And he showed me I was lost. I got up, walked down that altar. I don't have a clue what I said. I know I got saved, though. And you know why that is? Because I had a faithful mom and dad at the church. It's important. It's important. It's important you hear what I'm saying. And it's so sad tonight, Brother Ken. How many kids are not given that opportunity to sit on that pew, hear the preaching of the gospel of a Savior that died? They ain't given that opportunity, Brother Tim, that Emily had. They're not given that. They ain't given that privilege. And one day, I wonder what it's going to be like. I do know, according to Luke chapter 16, that they can talk in hell. And I do know that they can see in hell. And I wonder what it's going to be like one day. I say this, my daughter Lily, you can close my eyes, put me in a room, put 10 girls that walk up that door and say, "Hey, Daddy." And I'll know exactly which one's her voice. How would it be one day to wake up in a place called hell and hear your daughter's voice? Hear your son's voice? Think about it now, because you better believe, just as right as rain, that's going to happen one day to some folks. Daddy, what in the world? Why are we here? Something else to think about it. Brother Ken preaches and harps on it and preaches and tells it all the time. Thank you for getting your kids in church. You better be bringing your kids to church. That's not just so we can have a big crowd. That's giving them the word. I can remember, I can see her face right now, Brother Tim. The lady that taught me in Sunday school. I can see her face. I can't even remember her name, but I can see her face. It's made an impact on me, Brother Randall. Brother Ty, it's made an impact on me that I'll never forget. Just being faithful to God's house. God is doing more for you when you come to His house. The dwellers, the dad, the mom, the children, they're the gift of the home. They're the gift. The greatest thing beside my wife that I've ever had. And I've had a bunch of stuff. I've had everything the world has to offer. I've been everywhere, done everything, had everything. But the greatest gifts I have ever, bar none, no argument, no contest, whatever, is my two babies. That may change when I get grandkids. But right now, y'all on top. And you know what? God's blessed me with them. What did Hannah do? What did Hannah do? She took that baby. She said, "Here." You see? You know what you're going to have to do with yours? How do I do that? Do I lay them on an altar? No. I'm just going to bust your bubble. It's sweet. And it's so, you know, oh, it'll get the women and say, "Oh, how sweet." But I'm telling you, this little baby dedication we have, that's not all there is to it. When they're born in that Tanner Hospital up there in Carrollton, or wherever they're born, you need to dedicate them right then. And don't stop dedicating until you're in the ground. I heard Kyla Rowland talking about Brother Barry Rowland. And she She wrote a song about his hands. I can't think of it. What's that song? Anyway, Barry Rowland was, he said, "I'm leaving home." He left out, whatever, you know. He said she was in a bad way and said she was praying about it. And God spoke to her and he said, "Put him in this hand." That's where that hand song, I'm going to think of him in a minute. And she put him in them hands. And you know what? About 4 years later, he called, said he got saved, come home for Christmas. And I guess he's still singing gospel music. I don't know. You got to put them in God's hands as a lifetime. Even my age, my parents, I'm in God's hands. The dwellers of the home, the delight of the home. It should be a place we enjoy. It should be a place that we're encouraged. And it should be a place that we're educated. Should be a place that I enjoy being at. Do you enjoy your house? Do you enjoy being at home? Do you enjoy your family? Do you? Are you encouraged there? Are you beat down like you are at work? Are you educated? What do we educate them with? I ain't talking about ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. The problem in this country is not really the church. It's not the school system. You see, they say, well, we took the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse. We took prayer out of school. All this, that, and other. That ain't stopping nothing. It's still legal for anybody to go in that school and pray. It's still legal for anybody to go in that courthouse and bow your head and pray out loud. The problem is in the heart, in the home. We stopped praying in the home. We stopped educating in the home. We stopped having a Christian home. The delight of the home. But lastly, I have to bring this out. There is a destroyer of the home. There is one that's after the home. And you better believe there's been a whole lot better homes than what's sitting in here tonight, torn, slapped to pieces. The devil almost got my home. He just about got my home. I mean, it's an absolute miracle. Some of y'all know my story, and I'll use it for God's glory. He is a wicked, mean devil. And honey, he ain't playing games. You give him an inch, and he won't take a mile. He'll take the whole road. I'm telling you, he ain't out just to get you to, you know, just to cuss a little. He ain't out just to get you to do this. But he's out to destroy you and put you in that clay out here on this hill. I'm telling you, he wants to kill you. Listen, that destroyer, in chapter number 3, verse number 1, it says this, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." There's that old devil. Wonder how long, this is the question you cannot answer. Wonder how long it was that Adam and Eve lived peaceably in that garden before they fell in sin. And my point is with that, how long did Satan walk through there and study them? I wonder. Nobody knows. Speculate. Pure speculate. I wonder if he might have tried in another way and it failed. And tried it. Could have been. He tried this and it failed. But he studied. And he'll study you. He knows every person's weaknesses in here. And believe me, we all got. You may not struggle with what I do. You've heard this 1,000 times. And I may not struggle with what you do. But the fact is, we both weak. We both. And I may not have a clue what your weakness is. I probably don't. I know what mine is. I don't know what yours is, but I promise you the devil knows what all our weaknesses is. He's not going to attack me in my strength. He's going to get me where I'm weak need. He steadies us, and then he seduces us. He's smart. You know, did you know this, that Eve, when she sinned in this garden here, did you know that she was 110% deceived? Did you know that when she sinned in that garden, she thought she was doing the right thing? Ain't that something? Thought she was doing right. She saw the tree was good for food, good to make one wise. She saw this and this has got to be good for my home. This has got to be good for all of us. So she took it. The Bible says that in Romans. She was deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. Adam took it. He's the type of Christ. He took her sin on him. Just like Christ took our sin on himself. But he is a seducer. He knows you weak. Be very, please, listen, if you don't hear none of that, please be very careful of him. Be very careful. Don't put yourself in a place to where your weakness can be exploited. The destroyer of the home. He studies us, he seduces us, and he wills to slaughter us. He wants to destroy us. One of these days, we go into heaven. For that, we're going to reign. Rule and reign here 1,000 years. And I oftentimes go down the pasture, Brother Ken, and I look and I see things. I see weeds growing, I see briars, I see stuff, Brother Mark, all out there, Brother Michael. And I think about that millennial reign. I believe if the earth's going to be sent back to that Garden of Eden state, I believe it's going to be absolutely mind-boggling. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to that just as much as I am heaven. You know what? We can make our own small version of a Garden of Eden if we'll just follow the instructions. God will bless us. Father, thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for your book. Thank you for being good to us. We love you. We appreciate all these people. I pray for the young couples. I pray, God, for each and every person in this building. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.